Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the cast of Big Fish the Musical at Keegan Theater now through September 9th. Guys, why don't you take turns introducing yourselves?
I'm Colin Smith. I'm the director, co-director, excuse me.
With who? Who's the other?
Mark Allen Ray.
Okay.
I'm Eleanor Todd. I'm playing Sandra Bloom.
Okay.
I'm Ricky Drummond. I'm playing Will Bloom.
I'm Dan Van Wy. I'm playing Edward Bloom.
All right. And obviously, so this is Big Fish and it's the musical. I mean, a lot of us, probably all of us saw the Tim Burton movie back in the early 2000s, but a lot of our listeners might not even know that there was a musical. When did that one come about? Do we know?
2013, I think. I think this is one of those few pieces that, like, it transferred from being a book to a movie really well, but also begged to be a stage musical. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those great stories that translates to all three mediums.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think it was so inherently musical?
Because the story is so fantastical. Like, it's huge. It's got a great big heart, and it goes to great big places. Like, it hits all ends of the spectrum. Like, it goes from 1 to 10.
No, this one goes all the way up to 11.
This one it goes to 11.
It's also a simple story in a way. Like, it's sort of a huge story surrounding a really simple sort of relationship story that I think everyone can relate to, and and that probably, so you get magical, but you also get just realism, and it's just a nice story.
Absolutely. Let's go into that story before, because we're assuming that everyone knows the story, but let's say maybe some of our listeners haven't seen any iteration of this. What does someone want to take the basic premise here?
The story surrounds a father-son relationship of Edward and Will Bloom, and sort of a bit of a strange. The father tells a lot of tall tales, and the son seems to feel that he never really got to know his father as he lived his life, but more just through the large stories that he has heard. And as his father's life is coming to an end, they're trying to reconcile that relationship. And he comes to find out that the stories were not as far-fetched as he once thought.
Yeah, and I'd say
it's a beautiful, and they come to,
so there's a lot of mini stories within the story. Yes. You know, we see these tall tales. Why don't you explain sort of what those tall tales are? Take us on more of, let's say, like the Wizard of Oz kind of journey.
So there's all these stories of witches and mermaids and giants and circuses and werewolves. And so the whole story sort of with the father and the son is the son really coming to terms with what these stories mean. And he has struggled with why his father has told him these stories instead of facts about, you know, where he grew up, what his high school prom theme was, stuff like that, that he never learned. But he learned all of these sort of myths and epic tales. And for the son's journey, it's figuring out what those stories mean and how they relate to his father. And so really the reconciliation from the play comes from the father and son finally seeing eye to eye and understanding one another on that level.
Yeah.
The son always thought of his father as a bit of a braggart, but I think he comes to realize that he was inspirational to everyone through his stories and his imagination and just sort of how he lived his life.
That's sort of one of the things when I see the movie. It has that sort of It's a Wonderful Life-y ending where it's all those people you touch. And in this case, it's the stories you told. But and you really see sort of the impact that the life can have. And I guess that's the son's, you know, realization too. But explain where your character comes in here.
Yeah, so Sandra is Edward's wife and Will's mother. You know, like many women, she ends up being sort of the anchor between two of the opposing forces, her husband and her son. And I think what she ends up doing is being sort of the bridge between them or the glue between them, because she sees the magic in Edward's stories, but she also sees the importance of Will's pragmatic or realistic nature. And it's sort of up to her to sort of bring them together.
She's sort of the bridge between the two. Like you were saying that, you know, the son thinks he's the dad's sort of a braggart, but you know him, you know, you've been married to him, but he's also your son. So you get where they're both coming from.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, I think when two men can't come together on a common thought, leave it to mom to clear it up.
We should change the title to Leave It to Mom. I like Big Fish.
Big All Mom. Right.
No. Speaking of the title, as a director, how do you interpret that? Explain Big Fish, how that factors in.
I mean, it's the big fish tale that you know, and it's in the show. They say you caught a fish this big.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's the tales are these huge grand tales, but they are inspirational for that very reason that he dreams bigger than his life is.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of why we go to the theater, too, right? We want to see things larger than life. Mr. Director, on that note, explain what we see, you know, visually here. How is this constructed on stage?
Well, I don't want to give it all away.
Okay. What's the closest we can hint at it without spoiling it?
It's a...
Actual
is it colorful? Is it?
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
Speaking grand terms.
We're using a fair amount of projection, so there's a lot of interesting different technology we're using. But also, I mean, the choreography is really big and wonderful. I think, it should be a very bright show and a lot of fun.
How do you guys, and again, I know you don't want to give it away, but how do you guys sort of do the story within a story here? Because it's, you know, it's got that sort of Princess Bride-y kind of a thing where here's the storytellers and the, you know.
I think sure.
How do you separate those visually?
I mean, and part of that is through projections, how they, the story parts are a little more animated. He went with a theme of storytelling methods. So you have some that looks like comic books, some that looks like Grecian urns, some that are projected video. So he used a lot of different storytelling methods to represent those storytelling scenes.
And musically, Andrew Lippa, who wrote the score to it, the bigger scenes, the scenes of the circus, the scenes where he's with the giant, they're these big musical numbers that are really like the crowd pleasers and what you kind of think of as typical Broadway, like big chorus numbers.
Like show tunes kind of thing.
Whereas the world that is based in reality of the father and son relationship, that is much more more endearing, more sort of intimate music that is less, look at this big spectacle, but, you know, look inward to each person as they're going through this journey.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, you've sort of mentioned the music a little bit. Let's go into some of that. Remind us of some of the numbers.
I think
some of the highlights.
One of the... I guess most popular songs, I think, was Fight the Dragons.
Fight the Dragons was a breakout accurate? Song of the show. Yeah, everything else is, I think a lot of the numbers are really tied to the story so well that Fight the Dragons really just separates itself so well. There's Fight the Dragons, there's Be the Hero, where the father is engaging the son in all these stories, and that's where all the characters first are introduced and they come to life for the audience and for the father and the son.
There's a really cool number that I think captures what was so magical about the movie. One of my favorite scenes from the movie is when he sees Sandra for the first time and the popcorn is suspended in air. And the way they've captured that on stage is really unique and a cool mixture of the music coming together. And a shout out to our choreographer, Rachel Dolan, who's made it come together through the staging. In a very arresting image that is a really cool duet, ultimately, for Sandra and Edward.
Awesome. Now I'm hungry for popcorn. Thanks. I want each of you guys to give me a favorite number in the show, one that you get to perform and one that you get to watch your co-stars perform.
Ooh. No, that's a big question. Yeah, that's a lot of fun, though. All right. So I think
like, is there one you enjoy doing night in, night out, and one that you, when you're in the wings watching, that you're like, oh, wow.
Absolutely. Fight the Dragons is probably my favorite number to perform. My other favorite that I love is Ellie sings this beautiful number, I Don't Need a Roof. Mm. It's gorgeous, and all I have to do is just lay there and listen to her sing it. And it's, I think, my favorite staging, but also my favorite number to listen to her sing, because she's gorgeous when she performs it.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. That's my favorite to sing, probably. It's just simple. That's what my bread and butter is just simple storytelling. I enjoy that.
Bread, butter, and popcorn. Mm-hmm. All right. How about one that you get to watch?
Oh, man. It changes, but I think right now one of my favorites is The Witches. I won't explain too much, but there's some really cool costumeography that happens. And Katie McManus, who plays our witch, has a killer voice and a wacky wig, and she looks like, you know, Ziggy Stardust out there.
I think the wig is worth the ticket price on that one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. For sure.
Nice. The wig. How about you, sir?
I would say favorite to perform would probably be What's Next, which is towards the end of the show. That's sort of the reconciliation song where my character, Will, starts to understand things and starts to become the father himself. As you learn early on in the show, he's having a son. So it's him sort of taking the reins. And finally, his father has taught him all these lessons that he didn't even know the seeds were in there. But this is sort of, we see the blossoming, the blooming, of
<You're fired>.
The blooming of those lessons.
You can't do that.
Come forward. As far as favorite to watch, I mean, right now it changes just like Ellie said, but right now it's Fight the Dragon. There's the staging of it is really inventive, and just the whole song itself is such a beautiful, welcoming to act two. So it really sort of sets the scene for the rest of the show, and it's just great to watch.
Awesome. Who wants to take this next one? Just explain, just overall, thematically wise, just how this is such a great love note to the power of storytelling itself and what storytelling does for us, I guess, broadly as a culture, and then also just intimately, you know, on a family level, but why the power of storytelling comes through in this.
For me, one of the important things that happens in this show is Will's realization that his father never really got to live the life that he always dreamed about and talked about through these stories. But what ends up happening is that because his father was such a grand storyteller, he ended up inspiring his son in ways that he didn't even know he was doing it. Mm-hmm. And then his son ended up living this wild life. Will in the story is a reporter. He meets his wife in Baghdad. He lives in New York City. You know, he lives actually this very exciting, colorful life that in many ways his father, who was a traveling salesman in Alabama, never got to do.
Right.
And so it's only through really the power of his imagination and his ability to hook, you know, his son with these stories that he inspires his son to do what he couldn't.
That's so awesome.
The one of the last numbers is when, like in the movie, that everyone comes back that in their real form that knew him, and you get to see how these stories touched and how what he did touched people's lives, and that's sort of why we do theater. It's not. Applause is good, but it's, you know, it's to talk to people afterwards and to start conversations and you know and affect lives, and that I think we see in this show so well how his storytelling affected people's lives.
Absolutely, and you guys are affecting lives too.
Yeah, and I would say one of the main reasons why people tell stories is to have events and people be remembered. So really, for Edward Bloom to be telling all these stories towards the end of the show, he says, I hope somebody does tell these stories. So it's really that sort of piece of humanity in it of like, I will continue because my stories will continue.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that really, for my character, Will, really hits him towards the end of the show of like, oh, he's told me these things and like, he might be gone soon, but he will, you know, continue to be here for his grandson who he has yet to meet and whatnot, all because of these stories that he's woven through the years.
Awesome.
I don't know. I think sometimes we live in a world that can often like just be a little defeating every once in a while. And it's always important to remember just like to dream, to think big, have an adventure.
I love that idea. I love that.
Big fish, would you say? Fish the big fish.
Fish the big fish.
Big the fish, fish the big.
Fish big, the big.
Big. Edit that together. Big, big fish, fish, big fish.
So many fish jokes.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. We're in the glass and closed fish bowl right now. But could we...
Don't tap on the glass.
Take me... Yeah. Ooh, that was pretty good. Take me... Before we go, I want to know a little bit about you guys. I mean, I know there's four of you, so we maybe the abridged version, but, you know, how did you each get into theater? Where are you from? That kind of thing.
I'm from Kentucky originally, so not too removed from Alabama.
Right.
And then I basically ended up going to like a magnet arts public school in Kentucky because my friends went to it. So I decided to go too. And they put you in the musical when you're in elementary school. And I got bit by the bug.
Remember which one it was?
Oh, yeah. Schoolhouse Rock. Oh, live, yes. Junior. I awesome. Played interjections.
I want to hear that. Yeah. I want to hear that later.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I want to hear that now.
I had one solo line.
Yeah. What's the solo line?
Oh, something about commas and exclamation points. Really helped my love of grammar as well as theater.
Yeah, people in this town that could use a fewer exclamation points.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's how you got into it? Okay,
so
cool.
So that's how I got into it. And then I'm recent recently moved to the area. I moved here in January from New York. Just because I love DC. I love the vibe of the city. I think because there's not as much pressure to make commercially like profitable theater here, people do really, really great work and edgy work and interesting work. And there's something romantic too about it being seen by the people who are making public policy. Right. So
RBG
yeah.
in the house?
Yeah, definitely.
RBG, yeah, she loves the theater.
Awesome.
Maybe she should come.
Yeah. Ruth. You're listening.
Ruth.
RBG, we can get you a ticket.
Yeah.
Probably right. too.
Spicy, right, you don't got a job, come see our show.
Yeah, exactly. All right, fellas, are you guys also from Kentucky or DC people?
Ellie and I were actually in the same production of Schoolhouse Rock Live Jr.
He played the comma.
That was the apostrophe, yeah. Like falling down.
The bill. You played the bill.
Turned into a comma.
Goes to Capitol Hill.
That's pretty good.
I am actually from Pennsylvania. I lived in DC for a while, but I'm up in New York now. Yeah, I lived here for about 5 years, and like the wealth of theater that happens down here, like the amount of live theater that's produced, like go see it. It's crazy how she's saying provocative, innovative the work is down here, and it's really unparalleled. Like,
yeah. If you think about it, Dear Evan Hansen started down here. Yeah. At Arena.
There's so many shows that transfer
away.
So many.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All those.
Because
You have a little more freedom. Mm-hmm. Like there's a little more freedom to risk down here. And I will say that I am missing my favorite holiday to be in this show, which is I'm going to plug out August 11th and 12th, the Plymouth Alive Kielbasa Festival in Plymouth, Pennsylvania.
Oh man!
Shout out to my polka Bansky.
Exclamation
Dan
point.
Dan brings a lot of kielbasa to rehearsal.
Yes. We're not
that's why right. I cast him.
All right, so grammar, yeah. Kielbasa, Richard, what's your
that's getting cut.
Life?
I'm from about an hour south of here in Manassas. I went to high school, Bishop Ireton High School in Alexandria. And I always joke, my mom's a music teacher, so I joke that I came out of the womb and she gave me an instrument. So I played violin when my first memory is playing violin. Then I've switched to piano, and I've added other instruments and dropped other ones since then.
physically
dropped them on my feet. So I've been kind of involved in music for a while, and that sort of naturally led itself towards musicals. I lied to my parents freshman year saying I was planning an event when I was actually in the musical, and like a month before we opened, they're like, are you doing a... doing the pajama game? And I was like,
What did you tell them you were doing?
I told them we go like to New York every year, and I told them we were planning that trip. I was like, oh yeah. And then it came and went, and I was still like not home at like 4 o'clock, and they're like, what's happening?
That's great. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So I'm just acting, directing.
What were you afraid that they were going to say?
Yeah. Oh, they were going to be fine with it. I was just really like nervous about it.
You tell everyone you're in Big Fish, right?
Like, absolutely.
We know you're here at TOP, right? This isn't part of some elaborate...
Like, but like, here's the thing.
He didn't give his real name.
He's a storyteller.
Well, and I still have... I had like these J. Crew lobster shorts in pajama game, and I still have them that I wear them from time to time. They're my first ever costume in a musical.
I would say that's embarrassing, and you shouldn't say that on the radio.
Oh. Too late.
Maybe it's
in there, baby.
You edited it out?
Lobster shorts, Big Fish. All right, sir. How did you get into directing?
Well, I'm from Tallahassee, Florida, and I was in film school there, and wanting to be a cinematographer, actually.
Nice.
But was just more interested in the live performance and the sort of immediate response of an audience. So I got into acting, and then when I started acting at Keegan, they gave me opportunity to direct, and I've been doing it now about 7 years with Keegan. So, yeah. Short story, much less fun than theirs. But.
No, I like it. Well, why don't you, since yours was a little shorter, why don't you also close us out by just telling our listeners, if let's say they haven't been to Keegan Theater, you know, plug the theater a little bit. Remind them a little history and how easy it is to get down there right near DuPont Metro.
Yeah, we're on Church Street between 17th and 18th, just off DuPont. Newly renovated, beautiful theater. Really pretty quiet street. It's a lovely space. We're a like very tight knit group, very friendly, sort of a small family type theater.
If you can't tell by this whole conversation, right. I think
this show is very family friendly. Yeah. Got to put that out there.
Awesome.
We can change that. There was only like before the renovation. There's only two bathrooms in the entire building. Now there's
Seven.
Whoa. So if you went before and you were really upset that you had to wait that long to go to the bathroom, come back. It won't take that long.
Five
anymore.
For the audience.
Five for the audience. Yeah. So wow.
Come for the bathroom, stay for the show.
And if,
yeah. I love that.
Keegan's 20th anniversary season this year, and this is the final show of the season. So
awesome.
I think it's a good way to end 20 years with great storytelling.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, guys. Well, other than the bathrooms, in closing, why should we come out? If our listeners have heard this, you know, what's the final pitch?
It's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Heartwarming.
Live your life.
Yeah.
Go see a play. See Life Theater.
That's right.
Support it's art an adventure. In your local community.
On top of us who are more the leads in the show, there's a whole ensemble of actors who are just giving it their all number after number that, if not for us, come see them just change really quickly. And
yes, this cast, the orchestra, they're amazing.
They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. And Colin was good, too, as a director. He was good.
Great. Oh, yeah.
He was good.
And Mark.
Mark. Mark Allen Ray.
Marky Mark.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks. This was actually a lot of fun, and I learned a lot about, what is it, the lobster shorts and the commas and the kielbasa and everything, man. And the bathrooms. Don't forget the bathrooms.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Again, it's Big Fish now at Keegan Theater in DuPont, now through September 9th. I got it. All right, cool. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.